Chapter 1. Money. At times I crave an audible voice from heaven that would tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do with my money and possessions. Philip Yancey expresses my own dilemma when it comes to money. He says many Christians have one issue that haunts them and never falls silent. For some, it involves sexual identity. For others, a permanent battle against doubt. For me, the issue is money. It hangs over me, keeping me off balance, restless, uncomfortable, nervous. I feel pulled in opposite directions over the money issue. Sometimes I want to sell all that I own, join a Christian commune, and live out my days in intentional poverty. At other times, I want to rid myself of guilt and enjoy the fruits of our nation's prosperity. Mostly, I wish I did not have to think about money at all. But I must somehow come to terms with the Bible's very strong statements about money. Do you relate to Yancey's statement? God gives us principles in His Word, principles that will change us if we believe them. Yet we're left with a lot of latitude. I appreciate freedom, but it raises a lot of questions. In light of global needs and the tendency to be distracted from the things of God, should I own a house, a car, two cars? If so, what kind of house or car? Is it all right to own a nice suit? Can I own one, but not two or three? How many pairs of shoes are too many? Is it all right to golf once in a while, but too extravagant to belong to a club? Can I go out for dinner? If so, where and how often? Should I take a vacation that costs $300, but not one that costs $3,000? How can I be sure I'm pleasing God in my financial decisions? Materialism is money-centered and thing-centered rather than God-centered. It has no place in the Christian life. But is there an opposite extreme? Can the pendulum swing away from materialism and go too far the other direction? I believe the answer is yes. That other extreme is asceticism. Asceticism is a way of thinking that sees money and things as evil. To the ascetic, the less you own, the more spiritual you are. If something isn't essential, you shouldn't have it. Materialism and asceticism are rooted in equally wrong views of money and possessions. If we are to understand our proper relationship to money, we must first understand what money is. Money is more than just metal discs or colored paper. It's a tool that simplifies trade. The farmer needs lumber more than beef, milk, and eggs. He has plenty of those. The lumberman needs beef, milk, and eggs more than his many stacks of boards. By trading their goods, both get what they want. Money is a tool that can expedite such a trade and widen its circle to include others. Rather than trading two pigs for a plow and three sacks of grain, one person can give another the agreed-upon worth of the two pigs in the form of money. This saves time and energy. Who wants to carry around pigs and plows? God encouraged the people of Israel to take advantage of money's convenience. He told them that if their place of worship was too far from their home, they should exchange the tithes of their crops and livestock for silver, then convert it back to the goods of their choice once they arrived. We see this in Deuteronomy 14. Money allows much more flexibility than a direct exchange of goods. If I get $50 for my pigs, I can use the money to buy the exact plow I want, two sacks of grain instead of three, or whatever I prefer and can afford. Instead of grain, I can buy coffee, a saddle, a lamp, or books. Because money has no inherent value, only ascribed value, money is not wealth. It merely symbolizes wealth. You can't eat money, and you can't plow a field with it. You can use a $100 bill to light a cigar or wad up your gum, but that's about it. Practically speaking, gold is much less valuable than some other metals. In and of itself, it's little more than a pretty paperweight or doorstop. Gold, silver, platinum, coins, and currency are only worth something in a society where other people have agreed to attach a certain value to them. That they do so is proven by their willingness to give goods and services in exchange for them. Money has social and economic benefits that can be used for the betterment of people. If my neighbor's barn burns down, I may give him some grain out of compassion for his loss. Or I may sell the grain and give him money to use as he wishes, perhaps to buy meat, lumber, or tools. The grain and the money amount to the same thing, except that the money can be used for other goods besides grain. Christian compassion can accomplish great good through the giving of grain, lumber, or money to alleviate suffering. Money can be used to feed, clothe, and provide shelter. It can fund the translation and printing of Bibles, provide for missionaries, or build houses of worship. In this sense, money may appear to be good, but it's really the giver who is doing good. People may be moral or immoral, but things are morally neutral. Money is no more responsible for doing good than a computer is responsible for writing a book or a baseball bat for hitting a home run. Money can be used to buy a slave or a whip to be used on a slave. Money can purchase sex, bribe a judge, buy cocaine, and fund terrorist acts. But in each case, the evil resides in people, not in money. Water is a gift of God. Used properly, it gives life. Out of control, it floods, drowns, and destroys. Fire is a gift of God. Out of control, it brings horrible destruction and death. The greater a thing's potential for good when used rightly, the greater its potential for evil when used wrongly. So it is with money. It has vast potential to be used for either good or evil. If this were a morally neutral world, we would expect money to be used in a morally neutral way. But the world is not neutral. It's sinful and under a curse, as we're told in Romans 8. This is the problem with money. In a sinful world, money becomes something other than a neutral means of barter. It becomes an instrument of power. In the hands of sinful people, power is perverted into oppression, and money becomes an object of worship, a false god. In rejecting a god they don't wish to serve, sinful people instead come to serve and serve themselves with the god of money. Although there's nothing inherently wrong with money, there's something desperately wrong with devotion to money. 1 Timothy 6 says, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Since money can be used for either good or evil, the problem is human sinfulness, and so it will be until Christ returns and we live on the new earth, where there will be no more curse and no more evil. Once we allow money to have lordship over our lives, it becomes money with a capital M, a god that jealously dethrones all else. Money makes a terrible master, yet it makes a good servant to those who have the right master, God. To regard money as evil and therefore useless for purposes of righteousness is foolish. To regard it as good and therefore overlook its potential for spiritual disaster is equally foolish. Use it, Jesus said, but don't serve it. Money must not call the shots. We may have plenty of money to buy a new car, but we must not take our direction from money. If we serve God, we will buy the car only if we believe He wants us to, in light of the alternative good that can be secured through that money. And we must base that belief on more than preference. Likewise, if we believe God is leading us to go to the mission field or to help a brother in need, we don't say, "There's no money, so I can't." That also would be serving money. If God is our master, all money is at His disposal. We must concern ourselves not with what money says, but with what God says. The need for money may be a factor in our decisions, but it is never the factor. God, not money, is sovereign. Money, whether by its presence or absence, must never rule our lives. Two equally incorrect beliefs about money are that it is always evil, that's asceticism, or that it's always good, that's materialism. Both views have the advantage of all unbalanced positions. They require no discernment. Unfortunately, they also both result in excesses that undermine rather than further kingdom purposes.